know the NFL always protecting the Shield, even when they have representatives of the Shield making the NFL look bad, like last night and how that played out. The bottom line is this. I don't know if you've recently picked up the latest innovations that we now call a NFL football helmet. That to me is almost like picking up a bowling ball and trying to hit somebody in the head with it. I mean, it protects your head, but if you're using it and you're slinging around to somebody who does not have a helmet on, let me just tell you, you're talking about you could do some really severe brain damage if you hit somebody right on the head.
Oh, goodness. Like, yeah, you could absolutely do damage. I mean, think about it. Like, you could do damage, you know, with a lighter. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about a helmet that weighs, what, 6-7 pounds with a 285-pound, you know, just dominant athlete swinging it with aggression. I mean, just it's just so completely uncalled for. It goes against everything of the game, everything against sports. It was just a black mark on the game in general. That just cannot happen. Just cannot happen.
This is where I know that this happened in the city of Cleveland by a member of the Cleveland Browns, but to me, this is criminal. And you go, well, you know, whatever happens on a football field like that, that's just part of the sport. No, this is different. And to me, honestly, Myles Garrett should be arrested.
You know what? I mean, I can't argue against it. Like, I mean, that was just so far above and beyond everything. And you're right. Like, I mean, if that happens 10 feet outside of the stadium, you know what I mean? Like in the parking lot, everyone's arrested. Everyone's going to jail. I mean, I can't argue against it at all.
I don't know how long this is going to end up being as far as the suspension. I mean, it's indefinite. We do know it's not going to, we won't see him again this year. How long it lasts. I mean, look, we've seen signs of this with an out-of-control Garrett anyway, with the abuse and the penalties that he has occurred, you know, that's accumulated this year as far as against opposing teams' quarterbacks. He is not in the same category yet, although certainly with his actions last night, you can almost link him to perfect. But the problem is he doesn't have the same number of these things. But with that said, he's not that far removed from that either.
No, not at all. And, you know, the wild thing about it is this, is that, you know, basically last night was the Steelers replacing the Bengals and Vontaze Burfict with the Browns
right.
and Myles Garrett. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it seemed exactly like that. And it's like, and of course they play in 2 weeks, which, of course, you know, nobody involved in that is going to be on the field except Mason Rudolph. It's just wild. It's just wild that that happened. And, you know, everyone, you know, immediately was, you just couldn't believe it. I mean, you just couldn't believe what you were watching. And you're like, this is not part of the game at all.
And thank goodness we didn't see anybody defending anyone. Nobody defended the actions. And that's, you know, that's almost the first. Because how many times have we seen stupid things, dumb decisions that have occurred? And you have folks that, you know, doing the spin and the positive aspect of things. We weren't getting that. Nobody was defending the actions last night.
No, they weren't. And, you know, I mean, even Browns players, like right after the game, when they were in, you know, their post-game, you know, press conferences and interviews, you know, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, like, you know, the stars and leaders of that team, you know, all, you know, just went against it, you know, and him, you know, immediately. Freddie Kitchens as well. I mean, everyone knew, you know, immediately, like, this is non-defendable at all. That was a black mark, obviously. And then you look at the Browns, and there were, you know, a couple of Browns players that were saying, this feels like a loss, even though we won the game.
Let's turn attention to Sunday as far as the AFC South and how at the end of the day, how we may be viewing the AFC South. We get Baltimore, first of all, hosting Houston, and I like Baltimore to win this game against Houston. They're favored by 4. So if Houston indeed loses, they fall now to 6-4. If somehow Jacksonville with Nick Foles can go in and beat Indianapolis, which is very possible, you do have Jacoby Brissett returning to the field as a quarterback for the Colts. To me, it's a, you know, which injured player will look more like himself, whether it'll be Nick Foles or Jacoby Brissett. But if, say, if Jacksonville does win and they're very capable of doing so, one game separates first from last, and I was throwing it out there in the 4 o'clock hour. Is that, what does that tell you? A competitive greatness and you're just going at it? Or to me, it's just a battle of mediocrity.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably the latter on that one. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're a Titans fan, a Titans player, coach, whatever, like, this is kind of the perfect weekend for you. You just kind of, you get to sit back. You had a huge win over the Chiefs, and you got a bye week, and exactly what you laid out. You know, the Texans have to go against, you know, one of the best teams in the league. And the Colts and Jaguars, you know, one of them has to lose. You know, and now you get to the point where, I mean, you look at Nick Foles. You know, I know that, you know, stats only kind of tell, you know, part of the story. Nick Foles, I think, in all starting quarterbacks in the NFL, he's 10-2 in the month of November. Like, he has the highest winning percentage of any. Yeah, we'll see. You know, he's coming off of an injury. But, yeah, I mean, long story short, you're right. Titans fans, you know, you get to sit back and enjoy. And if you were pulling against them, which you should, two of, you know, one of them is destined to lose, has to lose, and possibly two of them.
I mean, we look at the NFC, and right now, if you look at the teams that would be playoff teams right now, besides your division winners, your two wildcard teams, a record of 8-2 and 7-3. That's impressive. You compare it to the AFC, where besides the division leaders, your two wildcard teams would be a 6-3 Bills team and a 5-4 Oakland team. You see yeah. where the problem lies.
Yeah, so I'll give you the perfect stat that'll lay that out. So what you just said about the NFC team. So the two NFC wildcard teams are who? The Vikings and Seahawks, correct?
On the yeah. NFC side, yes. You have the Seahawks at number 5, Minnesota at number 6.
Yeah, so you got those two teams, which are incredible, very good teams.
Right.
On the AFC side, look at the Raiders. The Raiders are in the number 6 slot right now. If you look at this season, they have a negative 32-point differential. They've been outscored by 32 points all season, and right now they'd be in the playoffs. It's incredible the difference between the NFC and the AFC.
I will say this. If you're a fan of the Titans, now that they're 5-5, and the fact that you're certainly pulling for Baltimore to bring Houston down, I mean, the most you know, what you really would like to see, your team going 3-4 and the other team going 2-2, that's how you gain ground. You don't want to see one team flopping so bad that it's coming back down to the rest of the bunch. I mean, but if you want, I guess if you make the playoffs, then so be it. But, you know, with that said, the Titans at 5-5, they get the bye week, 6 games to go. 4 of the 6 include games against teams inside the division. They also will be taking on a team that, if they don't win the division, they could still be battling it out for that last wild card spot. And that's the Oakland Raiders, and they get a chance to play them in December out in Oakland. And so the only other game we're talking about would be the New Orleans Saints. Well, that's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy at all, even though, you know, what we saw last week with Atlanta. But, no, you're right. I mean, it's not going to be easy. But the good thing, you know, for the Titans and Titans fans is that, you know, you kind of control your destiny. You don't 100% control it. Like, you're still probably going to need a couple things. But – I mean, if they go out and just take care of business, you take down the teams in your division and, you know, you handle the Raiders, I give yourself the best shots. I mean, it's all that you could ask for. You know, the hard part is, and I don't know what last night's effect is going to have on the Steelers, is that the Steelers are going to be around. And if you look at their next 5 games, 4 of them are against teams that are, you know, 3 games under 500. And the other one is the Bills at home. So, you know, the Steelers are going to be around just based on their schedule, but, you know, the Titans have it there. Like, they, you know, if they go out and do what they're supposed to do, they're going to give themselves a shot.
Looking at some of the other matchups, a big one, and it was one of the games that we selected today when in our visit with Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports, and that's the matchup with the New England Patriots at 8-1 going into Philadelphia, taking on the 5-4 Eagles, a team that is trying to keep pace with the Dallas Cowboys as far as the NFC East is concerned. I just kind of like this matchup for the Eagles. You know, it's so quick to go the route of New England. Look at the history. I know that you threw out that stat, what Bill Belichick and the Patriots have done coming off bye weeks. I get that. But, you know, it's this to me, that's one of those stats that kind of, I don't know how much of an emphasis you can use that in this matchup, knowing that we are at the tail end of this great run we're talking about with the Patriots. It's eventually going to come to an end. There's more light behind than as far as looking ahead per se. But I just like this matchup for the Eagles.
Yeah. You know what? I'm with you. I mean, and I think Vegas is with you. Like, look at the line. It's what, 3.5? Like, it's such a small line. Philadelphia, you know, they absolutely need this game. I mean, they have to win this game. And anytime that you have Doug Peterson as a head coach with his Eagles in a game that they have to win, they usually pull that out. And you're right. I mean, you know, the Patriots, you know, 14-5 coming off a bye week, you know, with Belichick. But I'm with you on that, is that the stat really doesn't mean a whole lot. But I'll give you a stat that does mean a lot. The Eagles, 8-6 all time against the Patriots. Like, not many teams have a winning record against the Patriots, and the Eagles do. And it's, one of them's a Super Bowl, right? Like, so I'm with you. I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
But you're going with New England, though. You're still all over New England on this one.
I am, just because it's a small line. However, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, I think Philly's a better team than people give credit for. We ran this, the Sportsline NFL playoff simulations this week. The Eagles have a higher percentage to make the playoffs than the Cowboys do. And the Cowboys are sitting there right now as a division leader. So I'm with you. The Eagles, they're undervalued. They're a better team than people think that they are.
How can Cincinnati be as bad as they are? I mean, they're 0-9, but if you could lose extra points and be have a worse record just because you've looked so lousy, you know, I think Cincinnati, even though they've only played 9 games, they deserve to be 0-12 right now.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're just terrible. Like, everything about them, you know, their star players, you just benched Andy Dalton. AJ Green's been injured. They're just terrible. I mean, there's nothing else to say. That's just a bad organization, a terrible roster, injury problems. It's going to take a while for them to get back. And to do that, I mean, we're not talking about hitting in one draft. Like, you're going to have to hit in 3 drafts in a row to build that team up. I feel bad for Zach Taylor, you know, a head coach, you know, on his first chance getting a shot. It's not going to end well for him. He's probably going to last 3 years.
Hey, what's your thoughts? You know, San Francisco, they suffered their first loss of the season on Monday night in overtime to Seattle. So this week, they're a double-digit favorite against Arizona. Here's the Cardinals team, 3-6-1. But, you know, they give their fans a reason to be optimistic. Kyler Murray and company, I think the Cardinals keep this game a lot closer than people expect. I'm not looking for the 49ers with a double-digit blowout victory. That's why I took the Cardinals and the points in this one. Just something about this Arizona team that keeps fighting, even though they certainly can't match the talent usually on the football field of what they're going up against.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, the 49ers are obviously a much better team, and they probably got, you know, an awful taste in their mouth, you know, after that loss. But I'm with you. I mean, nobody's talking about the Cardinals and what Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, and not just them, but, like, their team as a whole. And if you look at, you know, kind of the numbers in terms of rushing the ball, I think they have the 4th best in terms of, you know, rush per, or yards per carry in the NFL, somewhere around there. But the problem is that they only I think they're like 27th in terms of total carry. Like, they don't run the ball all that often. But this is a team that, you know, when we talked, you know, before the season started, a lot of people thought that this team was worse than the Dolphins. Like, they are kind of devoid of a lot of talent, and they've been injured, especially at the running back position. And they're getting the job done. So I'm with you on that. Like, the Cardinals are really fun. They're going to be – they're seemingly getting better each week. But, yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, man. San Francisco, they play good football. You know, we'll see. Emmanuel Sanders, that was a big loss for them. We'll see if he comes back. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. Arizona, that's a really fun team. People need to pay more attention to them.
Alan Bell, once again, with CBS Sportsline, joining us. The New York Jets will be at Washington. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because there seems to be a huge disconnect from the front office to the head coach to the players. The front office says,
team?
Yeah, the front office says Adam Gase will be back, and so the front office is okay with Adam Gase. The players, you know, it's pretty bad when the players are using social media. And forget about keeping things in-house. They're not. If you're wanting to move forward as a team, you need everybody on the same page. Nobody is. I don't see this getting any better with this current alignment the way we have it.
No. I mean, no. It's not. And, I, you know, again, Adam Gase, I don't know what the infatuation is with him. He hasn't proven anything in terms of success. You know, we'll see. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, they have a talent problem across the board, and that's not going to be fixed anytime soon. And the interesting thing about this game, and I wish that I had the exact numbers in front of me, but you can look it up and fact-check me after, you know, the interview. But I think the Jets have lost, I think, like 5 straight road games, and the Redskins have lost, like, 6 straight home games. something like that. So it's like something has to give between these two teams that have just been just horrific. This is going to be an awful game. But, you know, every time we say that, these games are the ones that turn out to be the most fun, you know, towards the end. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, these teams need help. They need help in the worst ways, and it's going to be a long time before they're good again.
Very good stat as far as this year is concerned. Jets 0-4 on the road. Washington 0-4 at home. Something has to give.
There we go. That's it. That's why I appreciate you. You were quick to the fact check.
Well, it's not hard if you're a Jets fan. You know, you don't have to. You only have to deal with two wins, and you know one of them came last week, and it wasn't on the road. So it's a lot easier to do the math with half of the components there being the New York Jets. And I'll leave it at that. Hey, what other
accounting easy?
What other things are you looking forward to now? Because this is that time now that we're getting into mid-November, where you're talking about teams needing to everybody be on the same page moving forward as far as a playoff run. But not just that part, playing well together to even make a run once you get to the playoffs, maybe making a run for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, really what you want to look for now is which teams are for real, right? And what I mean by that is this, is that which teams are solving their problems that they had in the beginning of the year, and they're getting better and progressing towards that run. And so, you know, you say that, and you look at teams like the Packers. Right? Like, are they for real? Are they who we, you know, that it looks like who we think that they are? Are the 49ers for real? Like, I think we all think the Saints are. They probably are. But, you know, Packers, the Vikings, like, they've been playing excellent ball. But are they going to continue it, right? And then you look on the AFC side, kind of the same thing. Like, are the Ravens as good as we think that they are? Are the Patriots as good? Like, I think this is a big test for them. Like, if they drop this game, you know, there have been some problems with that offense, specifically on the offensive line and rushing the ball. You know, the Patriots who we think that they are. So, you know, long story short, like right now is when you start to look and say, okay, which teams are legit? Which teams are just too inconsistent? The Cowboys being one of them, you know, who's going to get their act together and who's going to waste an opportunity which doesn't come around very often?
I'm glad you brought up, Alan, the Dallas Cowboys, because, you know, it's one thing when you've got a team that you pull for that, you know, if they are just around 500 or maybe one game above 500, then you feel good about them. At least they're not embarrassing themselves. I mean, here's a Cowboys team. I just don't get it. The fact that they, with everything at their disposal, incredible fan base, facilities, money to spend, the ability to attract the folks to play with the star at midfield, and here they are again, 5-4, and not looking good at 5-4 either.
No, they're not. I'll tell you this. Here's the stat about them. The Cowboys are 4-0 in the NFC East, and they're 1-4 outside the NFC East, and that only win was against the Dolphins. Like, they have a problem. They're just too inconsistent. Play calling is a big part of it, but it's the defense. Like, the defense was the catalyst of that team last year, and not that it's terrible by any means. But it doesn't do two things. They don't get stops when they need them. The Vikings seemingly can score whenever that they needed to. And two, they're not getting big turnovers, big takeaways. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick, since joining the Steelers, has more interceptions than the entire Dallas Cowboys roster all season long. Like, they're not getting these plays that they should. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, like you said, like, we'll see if they're for real, if they're consistent, if they can get this thing figured out, because I think they have the number one, like, team total offense in the NFL, and they're sitting 5-4. Like, what is going on?
Only thing you need to know about them is the fact that they lost to the New York Jets. The Jets, one of their two wins this year was over Dallas. That's all you need to know about the Dallas Cowboys.
It was a blowout, too, right? I mean, I know that, you know, the final score, I can't remember what it was. It might have been close, but it didn't feel close when we were watching that game.
All right, one other game coming up on Sunday night. It's the matchup on NBC with the Los Angeles Rams at 5-4, playing host to the Chicago Bears, 4-5. The Bears, like the Browns, you know, here we are talking about two of the five teams with the best chances of winning the Vince Lombardi Trophy as the best team, winners of the Super Bowl, right? And both teams not looking anything like that. But forget about the Bears for a second. Jared Goff and the Rams. Jared Goff is playing like he's a rookie in the NFL. I don't know if the hangover effect as far as the run to the Super Bowl last year and them coming up short, he's throwing, I don't know if he's trying to do too much, but he's thrown way too many interceptions this year as well. What's wrong with the Rams? Am I wrong here? Because to me, they should be, we talk about the Cowboys underperforming, the Rams in that same category, obviously.
No, you're, I mean, you're not wrong at all. I mean, look at them. The biggest problem is their offensive line. Excuse me. Like, first off, they can't really run the ball, and Todd Gurley is not the same Todd Gurley that they had last year. The offensive line is just letting them down. They're getting old, injured. They got some problems. So not only rushing the ball, but, you know, Jared Goff, in terms of, you know, the time allotted that he has back there, is getting pressured, and, you know, a lot of the same kind of thing. Like, you look at Chicago. They got a quarterback problem, too. He's come, you know, Trubisky's come way back down to earth. So I think you got a game of two offenses, you know, and offensive coaches, you know, that are really going through it. I think this is a game where Chicago's defense, for real. Like, when was the last time we said Khalil Mack's name? I haven't heard his name literally in 6 weeks, right? So can they get after, you know, Jared Goff, or can Sean McVay and the Rams, you know, pick this thing up? This is a game where one of these teams has to get their act together, because they're way too good to be playing this bout.